Hey everybody, welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey,
hello,
y'all.
Hello.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. Before I ask everybody how they're doing, I want to let you all know yet again, we are going to be reading Homegoing by Ya Jossy. Okay? We are reading that. And we will be discussing it and having our book combo on April 10th. So make sure that you get your copies, read along with us, and join us for our book combo. How is everybody doing?
Great.
Better than Derek Jackson's wife.
Ooh, oh, okay.
Oh. No.
All right.
Well.
I need to mix it up a little bit. Mm.
I'm doing well as well. All right, so let's dive on in. So as we mentioned this week, we're talking all media. We were talking, we're talking books, but we ain't talking about books. We're gonna talk about books next month. But we've been talking about movies and all basically movies. So
what else you gonna say? It's been all movies.
movies.
And so this time we're gonna be talking about some Oscar nominations and. So the nominations came out last week, I believe, and we took a little time to peruse the nominations and find some things that we were interested in watching, and we watched a couple of them, and so we're going to talk about three of them. We're talking about The Trial of the Chicago 7, we're talking about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and Nomadland. Okay, so Camille is going to lead this conversation. So take it away, Camille.
I'm so interested to see how this is going to go because we are all different. We, even in preparing for this, we just debate over everything. So this is going to be a good episode. This is going to be really good. Okay, so our first movie that we're going to talk about, we got to talk about The Trial of Chicago 7. And if you guys don't know, this movie has been nominated for 5 different things: Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Best Original Screenplay, Best Cinematography, and Best Film Editing.
They also got that Best Original Song, so it was 6.
Best Original Song, 6. Mm-hmm. So, what did you guys think of the movie?
It was good. I enjoyed it. Overall, the way it was shot, the way the story was told, I liked it. The acting was solid. It definitely made me upset. And I know the acting was good because I was hating characters in the darn movie. Especially that judge. My God, I wanted to like punch him in the face. But I know a movie is good when it pushes me to go read outside of the case. So I wasn't familiar with The Trial of the Chicago 7. So I read up more about it post watching the movie, which for me is like a good sign that the movie was engaging and all that stuff. So I liked it overall.
I too liked the movie overall. It was good. It actually seemed really familiar. I don't know if I don't think I was familiar with that story, but maybe I read about it somewhere or I saw something else about it, because it seemed really familiar when I watched it. But yeah, overall, I thought it was good.
I love this movie. 100% loved it. I thought it was great. I was vaguely aware of the targeted effort at hippies specifically during the Vietnam era. I was aware of the targeted effort against students, just as a general matter. I did not know about this trial, though. I was not familiar with this trial. And then to see it play out, obviously, I was familiar with the targeting of the Black Panthers as well. But to see that targeting of all three of those aspects be put on trial in one trial was like crazy. And I will say, this is how a movie about a trial should be shot.
Yes. Yeah. Girl, say it again. Say it.
Here we go. This is how, if you don't know, we had an episode about the Billie Holiday, the United States versus Billie Holiday. And yeah, that was supposed, sounded like it was supposed to be about a case, but it really wasn't. This is how you shoot a movie about a case, about a trial, if you hear me. Yeah, overall, the way that it was shot looked great. I love this movie.
I forgot to say that. Yes, as I was watching the movie, I was like, this is a movie about a case. This is a movie about a trial. And they told the whole story. Yep. And they went back at relevant moments and told what led up to this, what happened after this. But the focus of the movie was the trial, where Billie Holiday, she was in court for about 10 minutes throughout the 3 hours. The song in question, she ain't sing until the movie was halfway over. Well, we're not going back down there, bro. If you want to know how we feel, like, go watch, go listen to that episode. I'm sorry. You just got me worked up all over again. Go ahead.
But yeah, I agree with y'all. When the movie started, I was like, oh, this looks like a movie Andrea and Cookie will really like. And I was just like, I don't know if this is going to captivate my attention as much, because I wonder how they're going to execute the trial. And it was really good. And it made me mad, like I get mad at black movies. Like, that judge really pissed me off. Like, I was like, is he for real? I was like, this is so unfair. This would have absolutely been a mistrial in real life. Well, maybe in
well, it was in real life, president. And it wasn't no mistrial.
Yeah. I know. I was like, he did so many things that I was like, this should be a mistrial. This should be a mistrial. Is he really serious? It made me really upset. But yeah, I also like the movie, and I definitely think you guys should watch it if you haven't. So this movie had a lot of themes throughout. What are some of the themes that you guys, that resonated with you or that stuck out with you?
I want to go first. Okay, so listen. As a member of the bar, I am a loyal
member of the bar. Okay.
And I just want to say that this was upsetting to the like nth degree for me, because one, we all recognize that the justice system is flawed. I understand that. But to have it on display like that was so upsetting, because especially when you have the targeting of the FBI, the FBI is an arm of the executive branch. The whole purpose of the judicial branch is to be a check on that. They are not supposed to be a means to rubber stamping what the executive branch is doing. No, that is supposed to be a check to where you have evidence being presented, and where when there is a lack of evidence, you throw out the case. That was so upsetting as somebody who is like, you know, supposed to be upholding justice and fighting for justice and making sure that all aspects of our federal government run how they are supposed to do it, with protecting people's rights. That was insane to me. Like, I mean, not insane in that, like, I mean, I recognize it, but that's supposed to be a check on that. So yeah, that was upsetting to see that played out for me.
Yeah, I agree. There were plenty of, I am not a member of the bar, I am not a lawyer, but yeah, like watching it, I just remember being like, how is he able to do this? How can he say that? How do y'all gag and handcuff a man to a chair that ain't even supposed to be, like, what is happening? Like, what they did to Bobby Seale, and even that whole scene with Ramsey Clark, where they were basically come, because he was a former AG, and they were basically coming to be like, oh, you can't say anything. He was like, oh, I just have y'all here. I liked him. I just have y'all here to say, tell them, screw you, basically. There were so many points where I was just like, I want to know, is this actually what happened? Because if so, how? This is insane. Even the mispronouncing people's name, constantly interjecting. Wait, what'd you? I'm like, is this dude like, does he have dementia? Like, is he actually mentally fit to be able to be a judge right now? What is going on? Because it wasn't even just, oh, like, okay, this is racially motivated. At one point, it legitimately for me was just like, nah, his mental capacity seems like it's not really all the way there. But yeah, that was super upsetting to me too.
Yeah, as a member of the, I've seen every episode of Law and Order and The Practice.
That's what I was gonna say.
I would just like to say that the judicial misconduct was just out of hand. Yeah. I was literally just like, the whole time I was thinking, there is no way that this trial can stand up on appeal. Like, there's no way. Yeah. There are so many things that have happened that would be turned over on appeal that I'm just like, and I think, aren't lawyers, it's a big deal if like your case gets turned over on appeal. Like, aren't they usually concerned about that?
The judges? Like, yes.
So I'm just like, how is he just like blatantly forcing this man to be in the court without legal representation? Like, when he asked to represent himself, it's just, that would have been an out for you. Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Yes, you represent yourself, mm-hmm. but there was so much, and it was definitely very upsetting, and it really made me think, okay, times have quote unquote changed to some degree today, but that kind of stuff still happens. It's mm-hmm. just, it may yeah. not all be one trial, it may not be as blatantly obvious, but like, mm-hmm. just wondering to what degree these things still happen literally every single day across the country, rooms everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I echo all that you guys said, because I was definitely trying to figure out what was up with this judge. What was his motivation? What was he? Because even when he called out, Judas.
Oh,
Fred Hampton. Yeah. When he called him out, he was just like, "Who was that? Who was that in the courtroom?" I was like, "Is he representing you? Make sure you put on the books that Fred Hampton is advising." I was like, "What is this?
Yeah,
is he for real?" And everyone saw the BS. And then when he brought ex attorney general in there, and he refused mm-hmm. to bring the jury in.
Mm-hmm. That I was like, wow, okay.
I was like, he can't be serious.
Yeah, that was insane.
And then when they called out the exact jurors that old boy was like, oh yeah, she got that James Baldwin book, oh, we good. Yeah. Those exact two.
Just like he saw the James Baldwin book, the other side saw the James Baldwin book, and they probably that's when they know.
Targeted.
Like, okay, let's send them a letter.
Because even at that point, like the way he went about dismissing the jurors, mm-hmm. like if the jury was sequestered, they didn't even know that those things had happened.
Exactly.
Yes.
So for you to come in, make them aware, and then basically reinforce the threat, mm-hmm. and then be like, "Can you be impartial?" No,
really?
Can I be impartial?
What is your expectation?
Yeah.
Okay, but saying all of that, do you guys think that this movie was Oscar worthy?
Yeah, 100%, I do.
Yeah. I was very impressed with Sacha Baron Cohen's performance. Mm-hmm. Mostly because it wasn't stellar, but it was just, I think in my head I have him as Borat and just that real like outlandish character that seeing him in this role, how he navigated it, kind of reading up on the actual guy he played, it was just like, yeah, this is very impressive. Like I was very impressed with it. But yeah, I definitely think that it deserves the Oscar noms that it got.
Yeah, I think overall, I think the movie was Oscar worthy. I don't think that Sacha Baron Cohen's performance was Oscar worthy. Cinematography, yes. Film editing, absolutely.
100%
yes,
film editing.
Yep.
Great. The story was told in a way that was not disjointed like the Billie Holiday movie.
Whoa, calm down.
It was told, and it wasn't even told sequentially. But it was still a way that was clear and made sense. There weren't extra scenes that weren't needed, but the scenes that were provided weren't too short, or like they all had valuable information to bring to the table. So absolutely, I would say film editing for sure.
Yeah, I agree with the, I don't know if Sacha Baron Cohen had Oscar level, but he was my favorite character in the movie though. I will say that.
Yeah,
but I don't necessarily know that it was because his acting was the greatest. I just think he had the best lines. He had the and another thing from this picture, like as hard as the story was to digest, there were moments of comedic relief all throughout the movie that I really appreciated and I felt like were intentionally woven in that made it a little bit more digestible. I want to shout out Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin, I think, directed this movie. That's a guy who did The West Wing, which is one of my favorite shows. So
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I agree. They deserve the Oscar. The movie, the cinematography was amazing. The film editing, I agree with Drea, even though I still like Billie Holiday. I like the way they did it. I like the comedic relief throughout. Oscar worthy. Y'all get it. So our next movie, we're going to talk about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. This was probably one of my favorite movies on the list, which is probably obvious to them. What did you guys think about Ma Rainey?
Overall, I thought the movie was good. I thought it's one of the movies where it's like adapted from a play, and it that just be a lot for me. Like, because it's so dialogue heavy that I don't, I personally don't like it. Like, I don't like the translation of plays to movies. If I was going to see it as a play, then it's like I'm walking into the play with an expectation that it is going to be dialogue heavy. It's going to be a play. People going to be overperforming because you the play level is different from movie level. So, I just don't think it translates well. And that's no shade on this particular movie. I just don't think plays really translate well to movies if you're going to still make it play like.
I agree. I feel the same way. I always kind of feel a bit drained when I watch movies like that. And because it's just, you don't have any distractions. Like, you just have to.
Ain't no intermission.
Nothing. You just talk for 2 hours straight, and I'm supposed to just be like engaged. Nothing blew up. Nobody. Nothing. You just talking. But in terms of the acting, my God, just great. Definitely sad watching it. Literally thinking this was Chadwick's last film. I was stunned at the acting across the board. I think the design of the, you know, what they were wearing, costume design, I think the setting, like in terms of like all of it, like transposing us back to that time, was excellently done. I appreciate the themes that was within it. I appreciate all of it. Aside from it just being a play to a movie, it was stellar. But that one piece, I was like, Lord, let me get a glass of wine or something.
My overall, I didn't really like the movie, honestly. Overall, I didn't realize it was a play. Maybe that played a role into it. It was just, I just wish that more of the story had been told. I just wish that it wasn't just about this one specific recording session. I wish the film elaborated more. And I just wanted more. So if I watch a movie and I'm left wanting more and not like, I want a sequel, but like, you should have given me more, then I mean, I'm not a fan.
See, y'all don't like plays. See, I loved it.
I like plays, just not on no movie screen.
Yeah, it's different. It's different.
It's different, but it's not at the same time. Well, I guess if you have the expectation that this is going to be like drastically different from the movie. drastically different than the play. I don't come in with the expectation that it's going to be drastically different. Because with the play, that is what the play was about. It's about this aspect, this element of her life. That's what the play was about. So I loved it. Viola Davis, oh my God, there's nothing that I've watched with her that I may need to look like some old stuff and see if she was like ever bad. But honey, that Juilliard training is like, she killed it in each role. Even though you know it's Viola, she still takes on the character. And I think she was my Rainey. And she sold it for me. She deserves all of that. Chadwick.
Baby, bye. Chadwick acted his ass off. 100% acted his ass off. And this honestly, like, for me, showed his versatility, because I was not expecting that level of performance. Like, I honestly, well, I don't know about, because I don't know about the Grammy part, but I feel like he could have got an EGOT. He could have been EGOT level. Mm. Just because, like, the versatility that he displayed, I mean, I guess you could get an EGOT because a Grammy, because Barack Obama got a Grammy for a speech. Yeah. So if he gave a speech or something, because, you know, he was good for speeches too. I was thoroughly impressed by Chadwick. Like, I will say, I think Chadwick outdid Viola. And I don't necessarily think it's from a, I don't think it's from a perspective of the fact that Viola was the lesser actor. Her role just wasn't, it didn't portray her to be able to allow her to outperform Chadwick. Yeah. Chadwick outdid Viola by a long shot. And I will say, so Viola got nominated for Best Actress. I think she should have got Best Supporting Actress. I don't think she should have got the lead, because she's not a lead.
I agree, and I thought the exact same thing, and I was saving this for the portion of the conversation where we talk about, do we feel like they worthy of what they nominated for, but we talking about it now, let's just talk about it. I do not think Viola's performance was Oscar worthy. Don't think that she should have been nominated. And when I went into it, I thought Chadwick was nominated for supporting. I didn't know it was Best Actor. Mm-hmm. And as I was watching, I was like, clearly he's the lead, and clearly he's killing. And then when I went back and looked, it's like, oh yes, he was nominated for Best Actor. He earned that. Yeah. I actually don't think, just thinking of other things she's done, and just looking at this performance as a standalone, I don't think it was an Oscar worthy performance.
I think Viola did the best she could with what she had. Yeah, like, the role was pretty confined. Like, she couldn't really develop it beyond that moment. But Chadwick, because she couldn't even really tell her story. It was just about that moment. Mm-hmm. But Chadwick had the space to tell his story, because there was so much dialogue with the other guys on, this is why I am the way that I am. This is the history. So he had more space. So I agree. She didn't have much to work with, but she worked the hell out of what she was doing. She did amazing. She did. But I don't know. I think it was Oscar worthy, but it could also just be because I just really like her. But Chadwick for sure outshined her because of what he was given. But yeah, that scene where he was like yelling at God, he killed. Like, if that's the last piece of work you leave behind, put that man in every Hall of Fame there is to be put. Like, wow.
I think he's done better in better movies, in other movies. James Brown, Jackie Robinson, I think the Five Bloods.
What? That's interesting.
I'm not saying he did not do a good job. I think he did a great job because he is a great actor. But so I didn't walk away like, oh, Chadwick.
I feel like that was one of his best performances.
I agree.
I 100% think that was one of his better performances.
So, Camille, do you not think he deserved the Best Actor nom?
No.
Wow.
I think they gave it to him because he passed away.
Wow, no, he 100% deserves that.
He killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it.
The monologues that he had in this movie,
I think it was great, so right? Not a lot of good.
That's
interesting. The performance, not the writing.
I think he's a good actor, but I don't think he
Wow. I think you
and I'm a Chadwick fan.
Well, I think you might be on the island, sis, because that was.
I'll be there. And it's probably a whole bunch of the listeners that'll be like, I'll come here. But what are some of the themes that stuck out to you guys in Mulroney?
100% Black ownership. That was the thing that yelled out to me in this movie. Yeah. especially from the aspect of Ma Rainey, that's like an obvious, right? Like how she is holding on to, and she even says it like explicitly, like they don't care nothing about me. They only care about my voice. Mm-hmm. And then once I give them what I give them or what they want, then they're going to cut me. Like the whole, go get me some Cokes. You know, I like Cokes. And if I don't get no Cokes, then even taking the time to drink the Coke before she get old and start performing. That is an understanding of the value of her talent. However, she does not own it, right? Because at the end, when she signs over her rights, it's like she withheld as long as she could and then even wanted to withhold past that, but then ended up signing it over. And then that also plays into I can't remember what Chadwick's character's name was, but his situation where he's writing songs, he's actually writing songs and he sells them for $5. And then at the end, you see that whole white group performing his exact song. Mm. It's all about Black ownership and the importance of ownership and what not owning things can mean for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even to talk about, we're talking about Chadwick's scenes where he had the monologues and he had a lot of conversations with a lot of the bandmates who varied in age. And he was going back and forth with Toledo. Yeah, Toledo. And Chadwick's character's name was Levy. Toledo. Which he was a much older guy, so you're talking about different generations, and I think they did a really good depiction of cross-generational relationships and what it's like to interact with people from different generations, because you're talking about different perspectives on pretty much everything in life, and you saw them they were going at it for the entirety of the movie because of how Toledo saw life versus how Levy saw life and their experiences and all that. So I think that that was a big thing that I don't know if we see that often in movies worked out in that manner, really given space to kind of work out and let them have those butting of heads and all that. Because there wasn't, I don't think they ever really came to a resolution. I mean, well, the resolution was he killed them, but there wasn't really like a agree to disagree kind of a thing. It was just, this is what it is. And I don't think we really see that, especially in Black movies. It's usually the elder just kind of dismissing the younger, and you just listen to what I say because I'm older and wiser. Or there's the younger not really engaged in the conversation because they're expecting that or they feel like it's worth it. So I appreciate the fact that there was room for that conversation and that dynamic to kind of breathe. So
I agree with those themes as far as Black ownership and what you said, but I also think it was a prominent theme was just like racial trauma and how that just kind of molds not only how you see the world but how you interact with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even spoiler alert, but even in the end, once Chadwick's character was rejected by the white man, he took it out on the Black man. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, because of what history and past trauma has taught you, you can't even express how you feel in a way that's natural. Like what comes natural to you has become so skewed because of what has happened. And it's just like, how many of us even now or today live in the result of people venting or living out their frustrations on one another in the Black community because they do not have the space, freedom, or outlet to be able to voice that frustration to white people or to people in power.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really good.
Like, how that even molds how the next generation is raised and what we think and then how we express ourselves. It was just, yeah, that really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
And for me, it was, so my Rainey understood what she brought to the table. Well, I think she understood to an extent, but not that did not lead to ownership. And the same thing with Levy. But in the end, the white man bought them out. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't be reproducible. And it's so funny because we're in society and in American culture, black people are, you're less than, you're not good enough. But you want to take my music and redo it? You want to mm-hmm. take my songs and reproduce it because of the excellence that I know that I have? And that part really made me mad. When he gave that man $5 and then it was boop bop 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 and then it turned into a whole nother song.
Boop bop bop bop.
You know how we have a song mm-hmm. and then they take all the song mm-hmm. out of it and take what we have created that's excellent and tell us that it's not excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that made me mad. But I know we already skimmed through this, but just quickly, do y'all believe that this movie should have got the Oscar nominations that it did? Is it Oscar worthy?
I think Viola should have been supporting actress. I think Chadwick should have been best actress. Production design was great. Costume design, great. The makeup and hairstyle, especially on my Rainey, give it to him, honey. Give it to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Slight variance. Chadwick, yes. Viola, no. Not even
that at all.
I don't think it was Oscar worthy performance. Sorry. Production, yes. Costume, yes. Makeup and hairstyle. I was confused by the makeup because, like, when I looked up Ma Rainey and saw photos of her, she ain't look like that.
She doesn't look like that in photos, but her photos are limited. And there's a special on what streaming platform is Netflix. Was this on Netflix? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was on Netflix.
Okay, so on Netflix, there's a 20-minute thing where they're talking about it. And they talk about the fact that there's not that many photos of Ma Rainey and how she actually looks. But they do say that people described her when she had her makeup. They described her makeup as looking like it was painted on and that it was like when the lights shone on her, it was like it was running and like shiny and all of this stuff. So like, I think that interpretation came from what people described it as and not what she was depicted in photos of, because there's only like, I think the director said there are only 7 photos of Ma Rainey in existence, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Okay. Well, and then especially understanding, okay, that apparently you did some due diligence in the, in the makeup history, then okay,
yeah.
Perhaps that's Oscar worthy.
But yes, I agree. They deserve the Oscar. I think Viola should get her best actress, but that's just me.
It is just you.
I'll take it. Okay, so our last movie is Nomadland. Quickly, Nomadland is nominated for Best Picture, Best Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Director, Best Cinematography, and Best Film Editing. What did you guys think of Nomadland after watching it?
I had so many feelings watching it. The thing that stood out the most was how well shot it was. Like, even just everything told a story. The van driving down the desolate road, her park, like every single thing meant something. And it wasn't a lot going on, but yet it was so much happening. I don't know. It was shot beautifully. And I remember the entire movie just being like, this is a beautiful movie. Like everything about this beautiful. And it was just so real. Like it was super realistic. Like that girl getting the runs and sitting on that toilet to poop, it was like, yeah, that happens. And I was like, and I'm so shocked that y'all shot this and showing this to us. But yeah, I liked it. But there was a lot of range of emotions. There was sadness, there was joy, there was a lot. I was very I contemplated a lot about just life and the meaning of it, and you know, what is valuable and what is, you know, worthy of placing value, all that stuff. But overall, and I don't really tend to like movies like this, but overall I'm glad I watched it, and I appreciate
I appreciated it.
I like the movie overall. I think I went into it with too much of a preconceived notion. The book Wild, do y'all know who came out? They made it Witherspoon. That book was like life changing for me when I read it. And so, I mean, the movie was okay. The movie ain't never as good as the book. But yeah. I went into Nomadland thinking that I was going to have a wild type of experience. And I didn't. And I think maybe I didn't because I couldn't fully relate to the main character because she was more in like retirement kind of life transition versus screw the beaten path. I'm just going to go find myself kind of life transition. So overall, I liked the movie. I think it was really good. I think if I had gone into it with zero expectation, I would have liked it a lot more. But yeah, I think it was very timely. I think it was very well put together. I think that the acting was good. It had the potential to be really boring, but I was actually into it.
I agree. I also typically don't like movies like this, and I didn't like this one. All of the things that it was nominated for, I think it should have been nominated for. I think the movie was beautifully shot. I think the cinematography was great. The acting was great. All of that. The directing was great. But it was boring. But, you know, it's not nominated for best storyline. So, I don't even think that's a category. I just made that up. So I overall, based off of what it's nominated for, I think it should have been nominated for. But I didn't like the movie. I was bored. I do think that it is timely, though. Like, I think that it's especially in the pandemic, too. And that wasn't even an aspect of the movie, but like just. Yeah, like it was very timely. So I think for that, in terms of the purpose and the message behind the movie, I think that was great.
Yeah, Cookie, I'm kind of similar to you. So I went in with very low expectations. I thought the movie that it was all right. It was all right because my expectations were low, and I too like a little. Action. It was beautiful, and it did get, at moment give me documentary feels, which drew me in. And I did like the message that they were portraying. Like even when the moment when old girl was talking about how her boss had cancer or something, and then retired and died a week later, I was like, oh Jesus, I don't want that to be me. So I do like some of the things that were presented in the movie. And I do think that it should have been nominated for an Oscar. Will I watch that movie again? No.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are some of the things that stuck out to you guys? It was a lot of things, a lot of good things.
Look, when when that lady was talking about how she done worked since she was 12 and she was 62, and when she got Social Security it was $550. I was pissed. I was like, are you kidding me? You have worked for 50 years and they gave you a check of $550? That ain't even rent. Like, what do you do with that? And even just as they different points in the movie about just their inability to find work and just the premise of the movie initially and the last line in the movie saying what the movie is dedicated for those who had to leave. Like the whole concept that there are people in the country that like they can't live successfully and they have to therefore scrounge and all this other stuff, like, and you're told to the narrative that you're told that life should look a certain kind of way. You go to school, you go get in this career or whatever, and then you're guaranteed success, or you don't have success because there aren't a lot of options for you because of limitations due to lack of education or whatever. But I was extremely just It showed on full display just how jacked up the government is when it comes to that area of you work your whole life and you ain't guaranteed nothing. Like that analogy, he was just like, you're like a workhorse. That's just once you've done, you're sent off to the pasture. Like it was sad. It was sad watching that and very frustrating.
Yeah. I think for me, I didn't really have that same feeling with regards to that. Maybe I was just, as a younger person, taught to look at Social Security differently, because is Social Security supposed to be retirement? I don't even think I fully understand what it is. So I don't.
It's a supplement to like retirement.
It's supposed to be.
And the part that said for those who had to leave, I took that to mean those who do not fit into convention and therefore you had to step outside of it. Because like when that guy that, you know, liked her, whatever, was just like, I think it was him that said, I don't foresee myself spending another night underneath the roof, for the rest of my life. Like, I didn't take that to be because he has to live a nomadic life. But it was because his soul cannot be confined to permanent residency somewhere. And so so y'all know I'm big on freedom. So, I mean, freedom and just rebellion, I think, was a great theme that I saw in the movie. And I think that is so timely because during this time of COVID, so many people are reevaluating their priorities, what's important to them, what matters to them. And so many more people, I mean, this is just based on personal survey. I haven't done any sort of nationwide empirical study, but more people than ever are saying, like, screw convention. I want to be happy. Life is short. And if X, Y, and Z is not making me happy, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not willing to confine my life to these things just because the world says that's supposed to be what I want. And so I think that this movie is definitely a great champion of that, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I was saying was timely in terms of it being in the pandemic, because that's also something that I have seen in personal conversations with a lot of people who are literally some who have been in their careers for decades, and they're just like, I'm not doing this anymore. If I have to sell my house, I will sell my house, because ultimately having a moment, and I think that part of it too is like what Dre was saying, that what the guy meant by him not necessarily, when he said that he wasn't going to be under a roof no more, not him necessarily saying that that's because that's what he wants and he's never going to be able to attain it, but just because that's not who he is. A lot of people are like having to take, or have had the opportunity in the pandemic to slow down enough to reflect on what it is that actually means things to them. Like, does it mean something to me to have this big, gigantic house that I'm paying a mortgage on that I have to go to work for continuously to pay the mortgage? And I think in the nomadic life, you have so much time and peace and tranquility to be able to reflect on a bunch of things that people who are not a part of that lifestyle don't have the opportunity to do. Like, when do you have the opportunity to actually stop and think, like, is what I'm doing actually making me happy? Is what I'm doing actually fulfilling me? All of these things that people don't have the opportunity to stop and reflect on, that in the midst of the pandemic, people have had time to stop and sit and reflect, and people are making pivots and changes in their careers that reflects that. And a lot of people, I've seen people take things as drastic as selling houses, because that's not what makes me happy. The house doesn't make me happy. The people in the house make me happy. But we can be in a smaller house with a lesser mortgage, and I can get a job that pays me less and still maintain the mortgage. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I watched that movie, and I was like, this is why, because I know a lot of millennials are going to watch it and have watched it, and were just like, we understand. We know what you're saying. But this exemplifies identified the reasons why we don't want to live the life that our parents lived and that, well, some of our grandparents, you know, our great-grandparents were slaves. So, but we don't want to live the lives our parents lived, that they worked jobs, and they may have liked them, they may not have liked them. They worked them for 45 years, and then they retire, and that's it.
Yeah.
We are choosing to experience life now in the way that we can, and we're making choices now. And I know that we have the privilege to do that in a lot of situations and circumstances, but I enjoyed that this movie emphasized bucking the system and creating your own system and doing what's best for you, because that is not the narrative that is common in American society. It's yeah. work till you die, and then you'll have a few more years when you retire to sit outside because you can't really move as much. So I did like the themes. So I know we touched on this earlier, but do you guys believe that this movie is Oscar worthy of all the things that it's nominated for?
I do.
Same.
100%.
Same.
Yeah, I agree.
And I actually wouldn't be surprised if this one walked away with Best Picture.
Yeah. I mean,
I haven't seen everything in the Best Picture category. I will preface it with that. But I feel like if this don't walk away with it, it was probably the runner-up.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
But one more question to wrap up today's episode. So there's always a lot of controversy on what movies are nominated for Oscars and who gets Oscar nominations. Do you think that this year they have a better or a more diverse array of movies and actresses and actors, like people who were nominated for these awards? Do you think it represents a diverse community?
I do.
It seems to.
Yeah, I will say, I think it has been more diverse. I still think that they are terrible for putting Lakeith Stanfield in the same category. They can't, one has to be the lead. They can't both be supporting. One of them has to be the lead. Lakeith is the lead. He is. Like, So yeah, that's a problem. But yeah, I do overall think that they have done a better job at being more diverse. Yes.
But I agree. This is probably the best list of nominations that I've seen. And I usually go throughout the years to go and watch the movies and see what's nominated. And most of them are trash. And in the ones that I've seen thus far, I'm like, okay, this is, wow, this is captivating. Even movies that I don't necessarily like, I see why they won the Oscars or are nominated for the Oscars that they are.
I.e. Nomadland.
Well, y'all, that's all we got. We hope that y'all take the time and watch these movies that we've listed and some of the other nominations. And let us know what you think on our Instagram. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.